We're going to ask a couple more questions that you may be interested in before Phil shares with us from God's Word. What's the religious makeup of the community you're in?
In Tanzania, where we live, approximately 30% of the population have tribal beliefs, which incorporate witchcraft and ancestral worship. About 30% are Islamic, and 30% are Christian, which include the Africa Inland Church, the Catholic Church, and other Protestant denominations. And the remaining 10% are Indian people who have lived in East Africa for many generations, and they could be Muslim or Hindu. And I was especially touched by the words of the songs we sang this morning about He reigns and overcoming the power of darkness, because that's the Africa Inland ministry to the churches that are planted in the villages, where the villages still wish to hold on to their ancestral worship and some of their traditions and say that they want to believe in the only true God. But those songs are so powerful. And also in Isaiah 44, verse 5, we read, "I am the Lord, there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God." And so that's a very strong message as we plant churches with the African Inland Church in the villages. Right.
If you follow the news, or we follow the news, it seems to indicate that it's not a safe place to be. Is that true?
Yeah. In the news, Africa is often heard about unrest, killings, violence, civil war, drought, refugees. That is the truth in many African countries. In Tanzania, thankfully, it's quite a peaceful country, and we feel safe there, both in the city of Wanza and when we're out in the villages, which are quite rural. Like Jeanette said, we live in a gated mission compound, and so we feel safe there, but we do not go out at night unless we're in a taxi or with people that have picked us up, because there are gangs, homeless people, and many unemployed youth who would like to relieve you of cell phones, jewelry, cash, and so we're very careful with how we act and where we go and what we are wearing.
You're serving with World Renew, which is our relief organization as part of our denomination. How do they do development work?
Yeah, World Renew has a model of partnering with churches in many of the countries they work with. In Tanzania, we partner with the Africa Inland Church, and the Africa Inland Church has a community development group of people, and we partner with them, helping to build up capacity and programming with them. We work in villages where the Africa Inland Church has already identified needs and has maybe already planted a church, and then the church community is asking for help in areas of healthcare, literacy, agriculture, income-generating, entrepreneurship, these types of activities. And you might recall the World Renew gift catalog that comes around for the Christmas giving. Help a family with a goat, help a family with chickens. We get to visit those communities and see how those funds were used to empower and encourage families in development work.
Cool. We're going to ask each of you a question individually. Many of us have an idea of what we think a missionary does, but we'll start with you, Janetta. What does a typical day look like for you?
Well, I usually volunteer 4 out of 5 days a week from 8 to 4 in the morning at the Makongoro Health Center. Thursdays, I usually take off. I do some work either at World Renew or just some things around the house independently. So I do take that one day off. At the Makongoro Health Center, we have an outpatient clinic, a 30-bed hospital. There is a reproductive health clinic, a mother-child health clinic, HIV/AIDS testing clinic, and all of it comes under the supervision of the Africa Inland Church Health Department. I assist the staff in administrative duties, take care of the small pharmacy, take part in patient rounds and shift reports. I also do a little bit of teaching, sometimes on medical equipment, sometimes on the drugs. And I did want to share a quote with you that is from our former World Renew HIV/AIDS Health Coordinator for East and South Africa. Her name is Nema Aluku. And I read her article just before we went to Africa 5 years ago, and I found it really sent a message of what I hoped I could do when we were there as well. It says, "Christian healthcare is still relevant in Africa as an integral part of community transformation. through the establishment, refurbishment, and twinning of hospitals and churches to community partnerships, communities are empowered and transformed to take charge of their health while churches are ministering to unchurched individuals. Ministry health facilities are the center of community life. Even today, they draw hundreds of patients because of their compassionate care for those who are ill. Yet many of the facilities are run down and poorly managed. They lack supervision, have high staff workloads, and are short on supplies and equipment. World Renew is working through our existing partnerships and communities to bring about health reforms through Christian health facilities.
What does your day look like, Phil?
Yeah, my day is quite different. My role is really supporting the agricultural programming that World Renew is implementing through the Africa Inland Church. So I get to visit the villages and assist in teaching. And it's generally an overnight stay, sometimes for a couple nights, because we might not travel a long distance. It might only be 60 or 70 kilometers, but it might take us 4 hours to get there, depending on the condition of the roads and, just things that are outside of our control. And so because we travel for 3 to 4 hours, we will often stay in a region for 2 or 3 days and teach in 2 or 3 different villages to make good use of our vehicle resources, gas, and also our time. And in these villages, the African Inland Church staff that I work with are able to translate for me so I understand what is the dynamics in the village and what we're hoping to accomplish. And at the same time, they translate on my behalf so that the villagers who are hearing me speak can understand what I'm trying to share. We do hands-on training. Most of the village men and women who attend our classes have not been to school. They are not able to read or write. And so we do a lot of hands-on, not in a classroom, but in a field or underneath a mango tree. And so it's pretty exciting to share in the life of a village. We're invited to eat with the community leaders and their families. It's very much a relationship-building thing. The concept of a visit must include a meal together. And for me, the meal is often eaten with my right hand, where there's no utensils, and it could be rice and beans or ugali. And I'm getting used to the local food. We always want to make sure it's well cooked so we don't get sick, but as long as it's rice or ugali or hot tea, I know it's been on the fire and it's usually safe for us to eat. Wow.
Yeah, good stuff. We know you've been home for a few months now, and normally, as we mentioned at the beginning, you spend 9 months of the year there. So when are you leaving?
I just had to chat this morning. It's just nice to get used to the time zone back here and sleeping a full night. But in less than 4 weeks, August 24th, we'll be back on that long plane ride back to Tanzania, August 24th. But we're really looking forward to it. It's a joy to serve. And Shanette shared some things with the kids that you might say, oh, I could never live in a home like that where there's creepy crawlies or... But it's all good. We feel protected. We know this community prays for us, for our safety and our health as well. And we know those prayers are effective. And so we look forward to going back as well. And at the same time, we miss this congregation and our families. But it's working out. It's good.
We just want to thank you for sharing with us. And we'll pray over you guys in a little while. But we want to invite you to open God's word with us now and to share God's word with us.
Thank you. Those communities and church groups that we work with, they will often ask us, bring the greetings from our church and from our community back to your home church. And so I do that this morning. Our brothers and sisters in Christ in Tanzania share their greetings with everyone here this morning. This past May, we had a little workshop with our Tanzanian team, and we were asked to share what our goals were for programming. One of our staff members, his name is Brett, he talked about the Apostle Paul and his passion for preaching and teaching. And we're going to read about that in a couple of minutes out of 2 Timothy 2. Brett's desire is also for teaching. And Brett reminded us as we reflected on Paul's ministry that Paul dealt with a lot of opposition to his teaching. He was often ridiculed. He often found himself in prison, chased out of town, even stoned. Yet, Paul persevered, and as he believed in the message of God's love through Jesus Christ, a message that breaks through all barriers of race and color, a love that brings comfort and peace, a message of hope and deliverance, a message that transforms lives and communities through the work of the Holy Spirit. Another friend, Anthony, he's serving with World Renew in Uganda, and he's from Michigan and trained as a pastor. He shared what it's like to be teaching pastors in Uganda and Kenya. And he reflected on the mission statement of World Renew and challenged us to consider how we do development and how we teach. World Renew's mission statement, compelled by God's deep passion for justice and mercy, we join communities around the world to renew hope, to reconcile lives, and to restore creation. Anthony went on to say, if we want to do these three things, renewing hope, reconciling lives, and restoring creation, then changing the way we value things and our beliefs is really important, especially as we reach into villages who have different beliefs. We cannot have true hope unless we know the good news that God is real and that he has sent his son Jesus to redeem us from our sins and from death and to redeem us from the brokenness in this world. We cannot reconcile people to God without teaching them who God really is. And we cannot expect people to take care of God's creation if they don't understand that God also values and takes delight in his creation and that God created us to be his stewards in this world. If World Renew only taught about agriculture, health, or gave out some food, we are not doing a very good job of fulfilling this mission. We must teach. We must teach people the Christian worldview alongside with our programming. It's this theme of we teach that I want to expand on this morning. And we'll read from 2 Timothy 2, the first 7 verses. And I read from God's Word. You then, my son, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crowns except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. That's the end of our reading. So Paul's letters to Timothy are intended to teach and instruct Timothy and to be an encouragement. Paul leaves instructions to guard the gospel truth, to persevere in it, and to keep on teaching even if this leads to suffering. In verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, be strong in the grace of Christ. The application here is, what God requires, he supplies by his Spirit. God calls us to be active in the Christian life. He promises that he will supply the strength we need to do what he has called us to do. And that certainly is our experience so far in Africa. And in verse 2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And this is where we've learned some new things from our African context. In Africa, where we're volunteering in the villages and teaching, including the health center, it has often been the elders in the village who teach the younger men, mentoring and coaching them. Similar to Paul's mentoring and coaching to Timothy. In Africa, knowledge is guarded, and it is not necessarily willingly shared. Knowledge is considered power. So if you have knowledge and someone else doesn't, you exert some power over that person. Here in Canada, we pay tuition to attend school. We learn by apprenticing. We come together in associations or groups to share best practices that benefit the whole group. And on occasion, we go on our computer and we Google for information. But when an outside organization such as World Renew, together with our Africa Inland Church programming people, identify a village that is struggling, we have to first sit down with the village executive officers and elected community leaders, introduce ourselves, ask for permission to conduct the trainings, and answer their questions. And their questions can be hard, like, who are you? Who is World Renew? What qualifies you to teach us? With whose authorization have you come? And whose approval? And then this is the tricky one, what have you come with to give us? So when we reflect on these questions, it becomes clear to us that the way World Renew and our Africa Inland Church partner actually teach is different than the traditional top-down teaching that exists in the village. The village elders may wish to protect the traditions and the way of life in the communities, even though it is evident from our point of view that communities are struggling. The worldview, beliefs and values in many African cultures and communities encourages practice of what you can get today, get it, because tomorrow we don't know what there will be. And then the traditional beliefs such as witchcraft and ancestral worship in communities also bind communities together. And it's through the practical teachings in healthcare and agriculture and some of the livelihoods trainings where we have been welcomed and well-received by communities. It's through listening and teaching a biblically-based curriculum in healthcare and agriculture that we not only reach out to the community with their day-to-day needs, but we can also reach out to the hearts of the community members with the love of Jesus. And the bondage to witchcraft and ancestral worship that communities experience, we believe that keeps them in poverty. And when this bondage is broken in the name of Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of light overcomes the power of darkness in their lives. The light of Jesus shines through, opening up new opportunities in faith and care. Seeds of faith are planted and are nurtured. Reading verses 3 to 6, 2 Timothy 2. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please the commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the crops. We recognize in the villages that we work in that change is difficult. At times we find it difficult to teach in a way where the ideas are accepted and individuals in the village implement them. These verses are summarized in our NIV reference section, and they say that the soldier wants to please his master, the athlete follows the rules of the game, the farmer works hard, and it is the reward when teaching the gospel through our practical hands-on work that we can enjoy witnessing farmers and communities flourish. Then we know that lives are being changed and communities are being changed. As our World Renew team plans and prepares for trainings in the villages, we ask ourselves several questions, and we pray for discernment and the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us. One of those questions is, through our teachings, are we helping or are we hurting the community by introducing new ways of doing things? Have we taken enough time to listen and learn and respect the culture we are working in? And allow me to share a story with you of what Pastor Jack, I think last week, referred to as God sightings. We've met a man named Stephen several years ago. He came to our agricultural trainings. We met him under a mango tree. And recently, I think last year, we were again in his village, and he invited us to come to his farm to see what he'd been doing with the trainings. We saw a positive result that had resulted in Stephen feeding his family now and having enough food left over to sell. He had food when many others had nothing during the recent drought that we experienced in 2016. The Africa Inland Church, with the permission of the village elders, received permission to teach in Stevens Village, and a first church was planted in that village. Stevens Farm is doing well. He and his family are faithfully attending the new church, and they're sharing what they have learned with others. Another God sighting. A donation of unfamiliar medical equipment was made to the Makongoro Health Center. It left Janetta's colleagues confused as to how this donation would help the center, as they'd never seen this equipment before. The health center had a vision to operate a small surgical theater, and an operating room was already built into the new hospital wing. Janetta had the opportunity to teach how to use this equipment, how it would fit into the planning and the future operation of the surgical theater. Janetta's colleagues then realized, this equipment was an answer to their prayer so that they could even improve the type of health care they were able to give to people that came to the clinic. There's another question we ask us. When we visit villages, are we disturbing the traditions and the social fabric of the community through our teachings and what we might give or not give to the communities? Will only certain village leaders, families, or farmers benefit? Will the trainings be for the benefit of the whole community? We admit the story does not always end well. Sometimes it does not have the intended results. A colleague in Uganda helped to implement a small business program for women in a village. The women did very well with the trainings, but soon they stopped coming to the program. An evaluation was held, and it revealed that as the women made more money for their families, their husbands took that money and they spent it on alcohol. Their husbands would often come home late in the evening drunk, and then they would beat their wives and children. The women decided it was better not to continue the program in order to maintain harmony and peace in the family. No one expected that outcome. Another question we ask, through our teachings and our interactions with the communities, are we able to let our light shine and intentionally share the love of Jesus? Will those who come from different faith backgrounds, Islamic traditional beliefs, feel welcomed and feel that they are welcomed enough to take part in our program? On the screen, you'll see on the right-hand side a man whose name is Musa. We've written about him in one of our newsletters. He was welcomed to be part of a village savings and loan group and agriculture group. The Christian men in the group welcomed him, and they shared the love of Jesus with him. Over time, he became impressed with his Christian neighbors. He came to church, and he converted to Christianity. He was thrilled to tell his story with us when we last saw him. We knew there was something different about Musa. We were thrilled, and we praised God together as he told his story. And another question, what does loving our neighbor look like? In community development, World Renew does not just hand out money. This creates dependency. Rather, we focus on sharing information and ideas, and sometimes we'll supply some inputs for farmers such as seeds to help a project along. We teach the local leaders and the farmers who are keen so they in turn can teach others in their village. Sometimes there are some people in the village who come to the trainings thinking there's going to be a handout of money if they come to the training, or a meal, or something else. When we call it posho in Swahili, which really means money or a sitting fee. These people are not interested to receive information, and when they receive no handouts, they stop coming to the trainings. However, sometimes we hear from farmers who have said, I came to the training, and I've benefited from the training, and now my neighbors who did not come to the training have been looking over my fence and seeing that my life's improving, and now they want me to share with them what I had learned, and so that's almost spontaneous adoption, which is pretty exciting too. And one of the last questions. In our teachings from World Renew and in our actions, because people watch how we act and behave, are we representing and reflecting God's plan of restoration and redemption in a world that is broken, in a world where injustices exist, where women and children are abused, where the land has been overused and deforested and not cared for? Again, we turn to World Renew's mission statement. Compelled by God's deep passion for justice and mercy, we join communities around the world to renew hope, reconcile lives, and restore creation. And we're reminded of the words of Micah 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is not only applicable to our volunteer work in Tanzania, but God has the same expectations of all of us here at Community Church, wherever we live and work and interact with people. I want to conclude with the words of Leslie Coe, who writes in the Daily Bread. It was the July 17th devotion of a couple weeks ago, and I quote, "As we continue growing to be more like Jesus, may we seek to love like the Father loves, forgive like he forgives, cares like he cares, and live in ways that please him. It is a delight to copy his actions in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that our reward is the affectionate, tender smile of the Father." Just in closing, Janetta and I thank you for your words of encouragement, your emails and cards, partnering with us financially as well, and it's just been a joy to share with you this morning, but also for you to know that we love the work that we're doing in Tanzania, and we believe God is calling us there and blessing us in that work. Amen.
Thanks, Phil. And couldn't help but think of the questions that you were asking. They're not only good questions for you, but good questions for us as a church and our diaconal work and our compassion ministries, just to ask ourselves those real hard questions that are easy to overlook. So thank you for that. Would you come and join me in a time of prayer? Lord God, we want to give you thanks this morning that you are God. We want to give you thanks for what you are doing from Richmond Hill all the way to Africa. We want to give you thanks for how the Spirit of God is moving and changing the lives of people each and every day. We want to give you thanks for not only Phil and Janetta, but our call to missions right here in the community in which we live. To be that very active presence of Jesus to a world that doesn't know you. We pray that in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, Lord, that we would radiate the truth of the gospel. And that as we walk into people's stories, Lord, we don't have all the answers and we shouldn't even pretend to. But Lord, as we walk into the stories of those people that we will meet this week, we pray that your Spirit would move in such a way that we would know how you want us to act, how you want us to respond. But Lord, that you would also awaken within the hearers to whom we reach what you are already calling them to do and to be. And Lord, we thank you that we get to do this in a community of faith. And Lord, as we look at our congregational prayer list this morning, Lord, we need and we ask for your Spirit to move in a real way. Lord, we think of Brenda's brother Greg and Paul's sister Priyanka, Lord, in those recent diagnoses. Lord, we pray that as we are already praying now, Lord, that your Spirit would move in such a way that healing would already be beginning to occur within their bodies. Lord, we pray that you would ultimately and totally and completely heal them from these ailments. But Lord, as they wait for doctor's appointments to come up, Lord, we pray that you would calm their spirit, that you would refresh them in your grace. And as they walk into those appointments, as they wait for more answers, Lord, that you would move in such a way that their faith and their confidence and their trust in you would deepen as they wait for that healing to take place. We pray for that same healing for Dee Dee's mom, Lord, as she recovers from hip surgery. We thank you that the surgery went well, Lord. We pray for that continued healing. We pray for the patience for her mom to allow the body to do what it needs to do. But Lord, we also pray that you would heal that hip. Heal that hip in such a way that it would strengthen, that there would be no more discomfort or pain. And Lord, that you too would just totally heal her body. And Lord, as we think of the story of life, as we think of getting older, and Lord, we think of Marg's mom, Yeti, and Julie's mom, Rita. Lord, as they have both entered into palliative care, Lord, we just pray that you would refresh their spirit. We pray that their faith would be a radiant testimony, Lord, in those units. And Lord, that you would continue to strengthen them, refresh their family, Lord, as they wait for that moment and that time for you to call them home. And Lord, we pray that you would be near to them. And Lord, we thank that as a community of faith, that we can also celebrate together. And Lord, so we celebrate the upcoming weddings of Jeff and Kayla, of Carl and Caitlin. Lord, we pray that you would be with these young couples, Lord, that you would prepare them, that you would refresh them, that you would strengthen them, that you would sustain them. And that, Lord, as they walk into the season of marriage, Lord, that it's not only about the day, but it's about the lifetime. And that you would bless them with a long and a healthy marriage that gives witness to the grace and the hope that is in them. We thank you for holidays. Lord, we thank you for those that have or are on holidays right now. Lord, as our family anticipates leaving after the service, Lord, we just pray for times of refreshment. And that, Lord, for all of us, whether we have been or whether we're going on holidays, Lord, that you would bring us back together as a community of faith. That we would be able to bear witness together. And so, Lord, we think of that witness. We think of this church. We think of its history. We think of its present. We think of its future. And, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to lead and guide and move this church in a mighty and a powerful way to be a profound witness for you. Lord, thank you for the calling for each of us to be missionaries. And as we're reminded of that this morning in the work of Phil and Janetta, we think of our own callings in our homes, in our schools, in our places of work, in the region of York, or that you would use us to impact this community for you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the wonderful message of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen.